We say good morning to the president of Sinn Féin, Deputy Gerry Adams. Good morning to you, Deputy.
Good morning, Greg. Majin mai.
Thank you very much indeed for taking the call. Right, you made the announcement at the weekend of your plans. For how long were they firmed up in your own head, Gerry?
About 18 months ago, myself, Martin McGuinness, and one or two other senior members of our party's officer board, as part of the broader plan within the party, or at least the development of a broader plan within the party, for the development of the party in the next 10 years, you know, we asked our membership, where do you want to be? Where do you want Ireland to be? Where do you want Sinn Féin to be in 10 years' time? And we did a huge amount of consultation on that twice nationally right across the island, and we put to the Ardesh exactly that, a 10-year plan. And in the middle of all of that, we need to regenerate. We, you know, any organization, any society, association needs to renew itself and regenerate itself. And Martin came up, God rest him, came up with a decision that on the 8th of May last year, he would have been 10 years in government. He started, first of all, with Ian Paisley, as you will recall. So he thought that that 10-year date would be, the anniversary would be a good time for him to move out of that position. And then that at the Ardesh, and of course we expected that he would be at the Ardesh with me, that I would make my announcement. So that's the context for it, the reason for it, and the, you know, big thing, of course, that none of us visualized was that poor Martin got sick and died, and that changed some of the process, particularly accelerated the process to a certain degree in terms of him standing down on the back of the scandals in the Northern Assembly. But I've stuck more or less by what we put together as a plan for the regeneration and renewal of the party.
There's never a good time, but this sort of transition, if you could call it that, or if I could call it that, sorry, is while there is still no government in the North, while we very increasingly likely could face a general election. Is it a good time for the party, though, for you to be in sort of departure mode, if that makes sense?
Well, first of all, I'm not in departure mode.
At least.
Yeah, I'm quite relaxed about all of this. You may have seen that myself and Michelle O'Neill and Mary Lou MacDonald and Conor Murphy were in London earlier this week dealing with Theresa May. I've been in touch with the Irish government. We met with the Taoiseach. So in terms of the northern element of all of this, and particularly the crisis in the institutions, I will continue to focus on that. I don't intend to contest the next general election. I'm greatly indebted and honoured by the decision of people in Louth and East Meath to send me to Leinster House, but I had taken the decision. I was only supposed to be here for one term, then I agreed to do it for two terms. One of the issues which we discussed when Martin and I and others were talking about all of this was the fragility of the government here. You know, because I would have been quite comfortable working away here for the next two or three years until a year before the next general election and then standing to one side. But because this government could fall at any time, I felt that whoever was going to be the new leader had to have the chance to get his or her house in order and to stamp their own particular personal mark on Sinn Féin and on what we want to do and the time ahead. And of course what we want to do whenever an election is called is to say to people, put us in government. We're a party of government.
If we did get an early election, though, you would be the person to lead the party in that election.
No, I won't be. No.
But say it was called and say, for instance, the government collapsed this week.
Well, then the party would be led by the last Uachtaráin of Sinn Féin, Mary Lou MacDonald. I, of course, would play my part.
Of course,
but
yes.
But as someone who isn't a candidate, then that limits my input, but you know, I'm happier, to tell you the truth, on the streets and knocking people's doors and meeting people and talking to people about the need for us to tackle, like, you know, the situation in Donegal. And I've been a lifetime visiting Donegal, and you know, we have a very strong organisation there led by Pierce Doherty and Patrick McLaughlin, so I know Donegal intimately. You know, the way Donegal has been treated since partition, and we see it now around the crisis in Letterkenny Hospital, we see it in the unemployment, we see it in the rundown of the Gaeltacht areas, we see it with the threat of Brexit coming up. You know, only a party like Sinn Féin has the real commitment to try and resolve those issues.
Do you hear the House of Commons member suggesting Donegal would be better off as part of the UK?
Yeah, but that's Lord Kilcooney or John Taylor. John's just messing. You know, don't take any of that seriously. That's just John attention seeking.
As it relates to the situation in Northern Ireland, in the north, what do you believe needs to happen? Do you think, because you know, you would know yourself that it is having an effect on people's lives. It's affecting people listening to you now in Derry and Tyrone and beyond. It's affecting school. It's affecting health. It's affecting money allocated for airports. You know, it's a serious, serious issue for the very people that elected you. What do you think it would take, or elected your party reps? What would it take, and how confident are you of a resolution to the impasse?
Well, first of all, the people who elected our representatives and who give Sinn Féin their biggest election mandate in the north in my time know full well what the issues are, and that's why they voted for us as opposed to the SDLP or the unions. They had a choice. But what needs to be understood, and I think our voters understand this, this isn't about coming up with some brand new agreement or some, you know, new way of going forward in terms of a freshly minted dispensation. This is about agreements already made. Every single issue that is at the bone of the difficulties are agreements which were made by Martin McGuinness, some with me and others, but mostly with Martin McGuinness, which were then broken. And the broad sense of what is needed is that unionism has to embrace the fact that everybody in the north needs to be treated exactly the same, that we all need to respect each other and be tolerant of each other. And these various agreements need to be delivered upon. Now, so far, the unionists have not been able to bring themselves to embrace that. Now, that isn't to say, and I've been talking to quite a few of them in recent times, that they don't understand that. Many of them do, and many of them want to see a different type of arrangement which would be based on respect, and none of them are comfortable being in the situation where they are at the moment. But their party leadership has signed up to a pact with the British Tory Party, which is madness, that they disrespect the votes of the people in the north who voted to remain within the European Union. And despite my criticism and Sinn Féin's criticism of the European Union, we did see that taking one part of the island out of the European Union, while the other part remained, would bring back a really hard economic border, which will disadvantage everyone across the entire island. And that's why we called for a yes vote, and people voted yes.
But Ms Foster's very clear in that she insists that the North goes out with Britain.
I know that, and that's why I say there's a madness involved in all of this, because those people, even from our own constituency in the agri-food industry and the dairy industry, small and medium enterprises, have all shaped out a life and are minding their families and putting their kids through college and paying their mortgages because they can work right across the entire island without financial penalties or tariffs or taxes or any of the rest of it. Mm. And Ms Foster seems to be totally and absolutely oblivious of the difficulties that this will bring for those people. So what is required to answer your question very, very directly?
Yeah.
We could go up to Stormont tomorrow and meet with Arlene Foster and come out at tea time with this sorted. All it requires is for her and her leadership to revisit the agreements which they made previously. We're not asking them to make new agreements which they made previously, and agree with us the timeline and the process for implementing those, and that will bring the institutions back in place. That won't resolve everything, but it will certainly be a far, far better situation. And be in no doubt, Greg, Michelle O'Neill and our party want to be back in Stormont, want to be back on the executive, want to continue the work with Martin McGuinness began.
I know you've a busy day. Back to the Dáil briefly, though. What do you have to hear from the Taoiseach today for your party not to call a potential no confidence vote? I've been trying to figure it out. Of course, you know much more than I. What could be said that would allow Sinn Féin to say, oh, well, it's OK, we'll not table this motion of no confidence? What do you need to hear?
Well, she hasn't been clear. And, you know, at one level, at a personal level, one can feel a bit sorry for the minister. But the fact is, she persists with this line that she had no knowledge of the very big, vicious legal strategy that was being employed against Garda McCabe. This is Garda McCabe who was bringing forward revelations about corruption within the and Garda Síochána. And the Taoiseach persists, and the Taoiseach supports her on this, that she had no prior knowledge of this, where in fact it has emerged that she got an email in which she clearly had prior knowledge of it, and the government's had to make a number of U-turns. The Taoiseach has had to come back into the Dáil, much to his embarrassment, saying, look, I misled the Dáil, I was misinformed,
But she has said that she can't remember the email, but if she could remember the email, she couldn't act on it because she's been told that she couldn't interfere in the workings of the tribunal, and yesterday she got that confirmed by the AG. So I can't see what new could be added to this situation that could prevent a potential no-confidence vote, which puts Fianna Fáil very much in an awkward position as to whether or not they were to support it or abstain on it, and then consequently could put Leo Varadkar in a very... He could have to choose between one of his FFs, effectively, Francis Fitzgerald or Fianna Fáil. So it could set a train in motion today that could have very serious consequences. What is your sense of what will happen?
Well, first of all, you're probably right. She's had ample time to straighten this out and hasn't done so. Maybe she can't, I don't know. So if she doesn't give... It'd be Mary Lou MacDonald taking questions today. If she doesn't give the answers which explain her actions or her lack of actions, you see, because the Garda Commissioner was directly answerable to the Minister. So we weren't asking the Minister to interfere with the tribunal or to have any hand, act or part in the tribunal. That isn't our business. But she did have a responsibility to bring the Garda Commissioner in and say, I understand this is what you're doing. You should not do that. And she didn't do that. Now, here's the other thing you need to know, Greg. This man was vilified. He was demonized. There were vile rumors about him being a child abuser and so on, or involved in sexual assault against a child, being spread. And I think everyone, going right back to Enda Kenny and Alan Shatter and all of the folks involved in this, I can't prove this, but I think that they were all influenced by this. This is the former Garda Commissioner who said that the actions of the whistleblowers were disgusting. So this campaign had its effect, and my strong view is that it's the culture of that time that created these difficulties for, not least in Garda Síochána, but I suppose more importantly for the citizens who are depending upon in Garda Síochána. And the vast majority of, I meet guards all the time, majority of the Garda Síochána are really, really brave, hard-working, decent people going out to mind all of us and keep public order. So there's no service being done to the state or being done to, and Garda Síochána are being done to the citizens by this type of behaviour. If the Taoiseach doesn't clarify or doesn't give an explanation for why she didn't send for the Garda Commissioner when she had a duty and an obligation to do so.
Well, she's answered that, you see. That's what I'm saying. She's answered that question. I can't see how she can add to that answer.
No, see, Greg, she hasn't answered that question.
Well, she said that if she could remember the email, she knows that she couldn't have interfered because the last paragraph said that.
No, bear with me.
Okay.
See, because this happens here all the time. You ask question A and you get an answer to question B. We never asked her to interfere with the tribunal. We never asked her or suggested she should have any hand, act, or part in the investigation of all of this. What we did say, as the Garda Commissioner's line manager, as the minister who was responsible for keeping the Garda Commissioner in line, if you like, she should have sent to the Garda Commissioner. She should have said to the Garda Commissioner, you should desist. This suggestion about this legal strategy should be got rid of. And remember, during all of this, despite her knowledge that this ongoing campaign was at the core of the Garda Commissioner's strategy, she still kept insisting that she had confidence in the Garda Commissioner, as did Enda Kenny, and as did Taoiseach Bradker.
When I say you, Sinn Féin, is Sinn Féin election ready?
No more than anybody else. We have just bought two elections in the north. That's a big stretch for us. You know, for any party, we fight twice the number of elections of any other party.
Would that be a factor then, with the potential ramifications of an election? I don't know, it's a potential. Would that then be a consideration in whether or not to table such a motion of no confidence?
It would be a secondary consideration.
But it would be a consideration.
It would be, yes, but you see, you have to do the right thing, and you have to do what you perceive to be the right thing. And if we have this ongoing saga, how long has this Maurice McCabe issue been ongoing? It keeps coming back and it keeps coming back. This is a man and his family who have suffered grievously, and all he did was be a good guard. That's all he did. He stuck by his commitment to be a good guard of Shekinah. And why does it keep coming back and baiting the government? Because the government have never faced up to the reality that we need. And Sinn Féin argued this. You can go and look at the record. I argued this at the time, and Padraig McLaughlin argued this at the time, for a patent-type commission for a Garda authority to be independent of government, for of all of those. And I'm not suggesting that in Garda Síochána are the same as the old RUC, but I do think that Patton brought together the best international practice for transparency and good policing and accountability, and the government refused to embrace those. Any reforms of Garda Síochána, the government has been dragged into it, kicking and squealing.
Okay. Thank you very much. Very briefly, though, a lot of people asking the question, and the bookies, in fact, are shortening your odds. Have you any aspirations at all to be the President of Ireland? Do you ever see yourself running for it, either this time or the next time?
No.
Okay. And very finally,
and
are you going to let your hair down on Twitter a little bit when you step down, step away from politics a bit?
Well, first of all, that question about me standing for an Uachtaráin on the Héireann position comes up all the time, despite the fact that I've consistently always said I have no interest in it whatsoever.
Right.
I suppose Twitter, because I may have less political things to be tweeting about, may go into a slightly different gear, but I enjoy Twitter. I think
I've seen you on Snapchat as well now. I don't know where we're going after that.
It's good fun. It's good
fun. All right. Listen, thanks very much, Deputy Gerry Adams, President there of Sinn Féin. Interesting remarks that whether or not the party has the resources to fight an election would be a secondary consideration, and whether or not to table that motion of no confidence in the Tánaiste. I find that really interesting. An interesting chat, generally. Hope you enjoyed it.